Heavenly Father, we thank you for this night, this opportunity, Lord, to stop us, slow us down, to get our attention, as the song just said. We come here, Lord, to study your word. Tonight, Lord, my prayer is that may the words we see, even those of us who've seen them before, maybe even many times before, may you use this night to reveal yourself to us. And not just a special way, but a personal way, as we study the realness of the Holy Spirit, your Holy Spirit present in our life today. We thank you, Lord, for all that you do and the love you continue to pour on us. In your holy name we pray. Amen. So how you doing? I'm so excited to see Janie.
Thank you.
It's good seeing you. So you make me nervous now.
Good.
She's been with me for a while. She's going, okay, I'm going to check and see what he's doing here tonight. And so we've been on this amazing, amazing journey called the realness of the Holy Spirit. And the emphasis on the word realness. You know, and looking at the realness of the Holy Spirit. Excuse me just a minute here. I'm going to talk while I do something here real quick. You got to love technology whenever it works. Technology is great as long as you have batteries, apparently.
Oh, yes.
And, no, it's the cool thing. I'm not sure if I do or not, but I have mucho backup systems and processes because sometimes technology gets in the way. And the good news is we don't even need this bad boy. Well, this will be interesting, right? So, this means I'm going to have to run back and forth over here. We've been working on the realness of the Holy Spirit, and the importance behind this is the fact that we have an amazing God, and sometimes, as we've talked about, is we have this thing that's called the Trinity, and trying to get our arms around the Trinity and understand what that was like. As growing up as a kid, I was in church, and I listened to, growing up in the Catholic Church, or the priest talking about the Blessed Trinity, and I'm going, huh? And then I started talking about there's three parts of the Blessed Trinity. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, except we used to call him God, you know, the Holy Ghost. And the thought of the word ghost made me as a little boy kind of scared. And I still remember the Sunday school class, the Bible study class that I taught, not far from it, right around the corner on Wirt Road, and it was a fairly senior, elderly group of ladies. And I was working with these young high school kids and leading that. And every now and then I would lead a discussion in our Sunday school class. We had kind of a social discussion more than anything else. Not Bible study, but it was called Bible study, but it was more social stuff because none of us knew the Bible too well, so we had to do social stuff. And they said, would you come and teach our Bible class? And I said, sure. And they gave me something similar to the quarterly that we have here. And it was on the Holy Spirit. And I'm looking and going, okay. And I got up and I started teaching. And about halfway through, I started kind of sweating a little bit. And I'm going through and talking. And it's like, and I started trying to talk about God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit. And there's three beings. And I still don't remember what I said. And somebody sitting about where Bill's sitting right now, she was a heckler like he is sometimes, and she said, now, are you saying that's three gods? And I'm going, I'm not saying there's three gods. There's like three beings. They're all one being and three together, and it's one thing, and that's why they call it the Holy Trinity. Like Trinity's trying, it's like three, and it's like, and by the time I started just sweating, I said, excuse me just a moment. And I walked over to the door, and I made as far as the hallway, and I passed out cold on the floor. Now, you notice, I'm telling this in week 11, because I was afraid if I shared that story with in week 2, y'all wouldn't come back. I hit the ground, boom, and just passed out cold. And so when my wife and I started talking a few years back about the fact I was going to study the realness of the Holy Spirit, you know, she didn't know that story. I didn't tell her until a little bit later on. I've shared before, I had anxiety. I had a massive anxiety attack. Boom, passed out cold. For me to do what I do today is nothing more than just a blessing to see God working in my life. And I share that with you because, you know, when you look at this, the Holy Spirit is real in a very special, special way, because what happened was Christ, you know, before he died on the cross, he pulled all of his disciples. He called his group of, how many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 9, 10, 11. Judas ain't here. This is great. We got 11 of them. Okay. I'm 12. You know, and so he pulled them together and he said, I got news for you. He said, it's been a great walk. You've done well. You've just done well. You've answered the call. Matter of fact, we're going to spend some time looking at Peter and Paul tonight. You know, well, Paul wasn't part of that 11. Later on, he was called. And there was a specialness. And he tells those 11, he says, you know something? He said, even though this walk has been pretty cool, I'm leaving. But when I leave, somebody better than me, greater than me, is going to come and is going to be with you now and forever. Now, you can imagine their confusion, scratching their head, trying to figure out what this is about. But he did. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead and then ascended into heaven. And somewhere around 40 days later, whatever, you know, the guys got together, not the guys, men and women, they got together, and then the presence of the Holy Spirit was given to them, and through them is given to us. And that's the real, and since then, you know, God has been existent here on earth by the presence of the Holy Spirit. And we've been struggling to understand, what does that mean? So we've been on this journey. We only have one more week. This is week 11, next week's week's 12. And so by the time next week comes around, yes, you will know everything there is to know. No, that's not at all. That's too high of a bar to stand. But here's my question. It says, you know, have in the course of the last, you know, week, 2 weeks or whatever, has anybody had an intersection, an experience where you just felt the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life? Anything that you might want to share? Anything come to mind? What was that?
On Monday? Well, my mom's been here for almost 6 months now, and she's on a tourist visa. But when she went to purchase a ticket in Panama, she asked them for a 6-month ticket, and they booked it wrong. They booked it a day extra. So we didn't realize that until she came in, and in immigration they stamped her passport for a day less. And I have a friend that works for Homeland Security, and he checked with his buddies at the airport, and they were like, no way, you have to get them to correct this. So my sister, of course, dumped the responsibility on me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We like to say you rose to the occasion.
I'm not good at those issues where you have to, like, press customer service to do what's right. So I was like, I don't want to start a competition. Like, that's not my... And so they were tossing me back and forth. Finally, I got this very disrespectful lady, so I was able to... to ask to speak to a supervisor, and that person confirmed what Homeland Security was saying that needed to be done, that they needed to correct it. So, but we couldn't find somebody to do the right thing. So my sister was like, you know what? We know somebody that worked for that airline, but none of us have talked to her in a really long time. And so we were on Monday after we dropped off Zoe at school, we went to the store because we've been doing our best to eat clean. So, like, we needed to get some fresh stuff. And I was like, let's drop her off and go to HEB when it's not full. And as we're in there, we're almost done with our shopping. And we run into this girl's niece who calls her on video chat. And she's like, I'm going to work tomorrow. I'll change the reservation, no charge. And we were ready, like, afterwards, like Monday, we're like, we're going to try to resolve this on Monday, call some more contacts, see. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't even, we weren't even trying. I literally haven't seen that girl in at least 10 years.
Mm.
And we live in the same city. And all of a sudden we ran into each other. It was like, we're like, this is no coincidence.
Well,
like,
somebody did the right thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And what Lilia says, talks about this is that she looks, she says, it's not coincidence. What happens is for those people who look at the Christian faith and look at what we believe, that we believe in this Holy Spirit, that they look at us in a way they go, well, that's just coincidence. We know that it's not. And what Scripture asks us to do is to claim that and say, that's what is working in our life.
We said right away, Daddy takes care of us.
Yeah, yeah. And that's, and what happens is, you know, for me, my moment was somewhat fresh, you know, like a couple of hours ago. Because I know he'll never listen to this because I'm recording this, but it's, I'll go ahead and kind of share this story. I was working with a client. The client's a little bit of a challenge. It's a good guy. He's built a really good company, but he's a little bit of a challenge because he says one thing one day, and a couple of days later, he goes down a different road. One thing here, I'll do this. And he's got somewhat of a volatile personality because he's just a driver, and that's how he's driven his company. He's just driving his company. And he's been intense in the way that we've interacted. And it's because of sort of the shifting of mind and what he says and watching, it's been a challenge for all of us. And my job has been to kind of shepherd him through this process. And we found somebody for him, but his personality was so volatile that the guy said, I can't work with him. You know, so I'd start all over again. And a day later, somebody just magically appeared. Just a coincidence, of course. And so we started walking, and this guy turns out to be even better than the first one, fit his personality perfectly. He goes, his personality doesn't bother me. And we got on the phone today for him to basically make an offer, and he tells me on Monday that he's going to make an offer at this level, which the guy's making this, you know. And so I'm going, oh, man, how are we going to? So a friend of mine asked me the other day, he said, Mike, he said, you know, when you dealt with this guy, did you actually pray, you know, before you talked to him? I prayed, you know, I prayed, but it was like a couple of days ago, you know, just when I was doing my morning prayer. But I didn't pray just before I got on the phone to talk to the guy. So this time I remembered that. And the call was at 3 o'clock. And at 2:40, I got up out of my desk and I walked outside, called Tommy just to kind of check him. I haven't spoken to her today, my wife. And then I just stopped and I just started praying for this guy. And for me to have, you know, Pastor Greg talked about wisdom, you know, to have God's wisdom, to be what he needed me to be in interacting with him and just dealing with him and just to be of help to him, be of service, and to just listen and make suggestions and sort of guiding. And just, so I go inside, pick up the phone, call him over 3 o'clock, he answers the phone, we spend some time chit-chatting, and I said, so how are you? We started talking, and then the short version of it is I start talking to him. I heard him take a deep breath, and instead of making the offer at that level, he made the offer at this level, and then he started talking about different bonuses which put the offer at this level. And what was interesting was the conversation I had with him 3 or 4 days ago had been working and percolating and resonating because the stuff that he said, we started thinking about doing some stuff. We came up with these ideas. I said, those are great ideas. And I'm going, I said that. but you know, it's like, it's totally, give him credit. That doesn't really matter. But, you know, when I finished, you know, I'm glad I'm telling the story because I realized I didn't stop to say afterwards, you know, thank you, Lord. I told a couple of people in the office, God provided. But I didn't stop and say, Lord, this is you working right now. Thank you for helping with this. And if these two people are supposed to come together, it's in his will. I think that what happens is, Doug Bischoff and I were talking before our class tonight, that what happens when we pray and connect with the Holy Spirit, what happens is sometimes, and most times, it's not our circumstances that change so much as it is our reaction to what's going on to the circumstances around us, our ability to respond. And so Lily's giving an example. Yes, there's somebody that's coming to place, but instead of getting wound up and getting bent out of shape, whatever, it's those prayers that help us to anchor. And what happens is this connection is not an event that happens one time whenever we say yes to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And poof, we are Christians now. It's not what happens. What happens is through this process, the realness of the Holy Spirit in our life, with this process that we're dealing with, there is a transformation that happens. And that's the word we're going to kind of sit on tonight. Scripture refers to be transformed. There's a transformation that takes place in us, that from the time we first say yes to wherever we are in our walk. And sometimes that transformation is quick, and it's big, and it's bold, and sometimes it takes time. And I'm an example of the one that takes time. And the reason I wanted to sit on this, I mean, you look at the realness of the Holy Spirit, has to do with, I've mentioned to you before, I mentioned earlier about my panic attacks, and I'm going to go through the whole story because, you know, those of you who have been with us for a while know about the fact that I've had anxiety attacks that were debilitating. It had me stuck within a very small area. I couldn't drive over bridges, couldn't ride escalators, couldn't get on airplanes. I mean, that's why I say, for me to do what I do today is just, it's just nothing short of a miracle. But then ended up in Northern California at the J.H. Ranch. You've heard Pastor Greg talk about his experience at the J.H. Ranch. You've heard me talk about Outback America. Well, my daughter Nikki and I ended up at the J.H. Ranch, and I climbed this 40-foot telephone pole, and God in his mercy took away my panic attacks. I haven't had one since. I haven't had one. But the cool thing is not that. Yes, he gave me my life back. I mean, it just... But two summers later, my wife Tommy and I went back to the J.H. Ranch and went to a place called the Scott River Lodge. Yeah. If you ever want to give Janie just this cool experience, take her to the Scott River Lodge, because it is it's not a camp. It's like a 5-star place that has got. I'll bring some pictures. It's but the reason I talk about it, you know. You know, it's like Tommy and I have had a chance to travel, and we walked up to this lodge, and these two big double doors that are like as tall as these ceilings, and they open up. And I went in first because I'd seen it when I went with Nikki, and I'm standing inside, and I made her walk in after so I can see her face. And she walked in, and she goes, I mean, it's because it is, it's in like it's the only piece of private land that's anywhere around for literally miles and miles of natural forest, you know, thousands of acres of California natural forest. The reason it was so profound for me is because that's the place I first experienced the Holy Spirit in a real way. I had these two prayer warriors, Chip and Pam Haynes. And it took us through a week of, you know, we were newlyweds. We'd only been married 2 years. So we're still on it. It was great. It was glorious. And we weren't going to try to fix ourselves. But what came out of it was this. I had this woman praying over me and praying over Tommy and just walking us through things, and literally saw events take place that were mind-boggling, of watching the Holy Spirit work through people's lives. I'd been praying with this guy all week long. The husband and wife were together. The guys were getting together. His wife and he were having some challenges. I brought these little cards with me that I was given to Tommy. We still do it. Just, you know, little boys and girls with no notes inside of it, little pictures of them, you know, holding hands or, you know, helping to be, you know, just real cute little things and stuff. And so, but they're blank. And so when I find them, I buy one and just write notes. And so Tommy loves them. She's collecting them. And so you come into our house, we have these like picture frames with 6 or 8 pictures in one thing. And she just took the cards, so the pictures of all these little boys and girls, you know, for over the years of getting cards for me. But I kept one in particular, and the little boy and little girl were just, they were just about to kiss. They were just that far away from each other. And I was going to give it to her the last day. And that morning when I was talking to Jim, I don't know why, but I said, you know, I have this card, but I know you're really working on some things with your wife and you're doing well, but if you want to write her a note, you want this card? He goes, yeah. So he gets the card and he goes, and so that night, I was trying to find him to pray with him, because that was something that happened to me early in the week. They'd asked me to pray with some people, and it was profound. First time I'd ever did this. I mean, total strangers, man. It was wild. And so I was looking for Angela, and I said, Where's Jim? I was hoping I'd be able to pray before we all left. And she said, well, he's gone up to the room already. She goes, you gave him that card, didn't you? Yeah. He said, you know the story? no. He said, we've been working on things in our marriage for the last couple of years. We haven't kissed. And we're this close. Coincidence. I mean, Hollywood can't write this stuff, you know? And I came away from there just, I have to find out more about what this is. And I was taking courses at College of Biblical Studies. I got involved in, I was already involved in our the pursuit class here. And it just lit me on fire. And the good news is the fire hasn't gone away, you know? And it was a mountaintop experience, so to speak, that kept going on and on and on. That's transformation. And the cool thing is we're all in the state of it in some form or fashion. I want to look at some things tonight. I want to look at Ezekiel. Ezekiel 36:26 says this. It says, moreover, I will give you a new heart. God is speaking through Ezekiel. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And when we say yes to Christ, we are literally given a new heart. And this new spirit comes within us. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. The reason why this is so important is because of the fact that if you look especially in the New Testament versus the Old Testament is built around laws that are based upon, written on stone. And so here it is, Ezekiel is talking about the future, but the actually pointing toward the New Testament, that this life of religiosity is being replaced with love and with a heart of flesh. Titus chapter 3 verse 5 says this. He said, he saved us not on the basis of the deeds we've done in righteousness, but according to his mercy. This mercy that comes from our salvation, the washing of regeneration and a renewing that takes place by what? By the Holy Spirit. There's a renewing that takes place by the Holy Spirit, which leads me to the very first Bible verse that I tried to learn, and it's Romans 12:2. And I fell in love with this verse because of this. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And the key part of this phrase is be transformed, but be transformed. Now, if you look at this, we've done this before because I didn't use the word transform growing up in Louisiana. Now, lately, we talk about transformers, these little things that do this stuff. It's kind of cool. But when you look at the word be transformed, I had to go talk to my buddy Webster because I want to see what does it mean to be transformed. We see Scripture hitting this hard, and it says this. It says to change in composition or structure. To change the outward form or appearance of, to change in character or condition, to convert. We're going to look at a couple more in here, but I want us to stop on this. One of the best examples of transformation takes place in the caterpillar versus the butterfly. Right? And the reason why is that you have a caterpillar, which is one of these little ugly, fuzzy looking. And people say caterpillars are cute. If you ever looked at a caterpillar's face, they are not cute. They're these ugly, little, fuzzy little things. Right? And what happens is, the way that they're made, they live their life and they eat leaves. You know, they're worn out and they eat leaves. And then something happens. I still don't know if there's a convention they all go to. And they say, we're going to do this differently. Something happens. And they start building a cocoon around themselves. And they start this little fiber. And they go and they work this cocoon. And they get inside this thing, this safe thing. And then once they get inside, they produce an enzyme. And that enzyme not just deteriorates, dissolves the body and literally changes the DNA to where it's nothing but just goo. That's what happened. When you look at it, you go National Geographic does some really cool stuff on this. It literally goes in and just, it doesn't say, you know, I'm a caterpillar right now, but what I'd like to have is, can you stick some wings on my back? It doesn't happen that way. You know, look, I'm going to shed this fuzz, and I'm going to get kind of sleek now, okay? And I'm going to have this thing's going to pop off from this way, and this one's going to pop over this way, kind of like evolution. You know, I'm a horse, now I'm a giraffe. No, none of that stuff, all right? What happens is it turns into, it literally dissolves and then reformats and is transformed into this amazing, beautiful creature. And when you stop and think about our walk and about what we do before Christ and after, it's that there's a beauty that comes in that only comes from one thing, and that's the forgiving grace of Jesus Christ in our life. And it literally washes us clean and turns us into a new being. I shared with you last week that, you know, my friend, best friend Francis from high school says, Mike, you are not the same guy that I was. And neither one of us are really bad guys. But, you know, he came into town one time and he came to one of our Bible classes and he said, where did this come from? Because this wasn't me in high school, you know. Not just abilities, but just speaking, but from a nigh, where did you learn this stuff? I don't know, but we're going to spend some time kind of looking at what takes place. And so this is what transformation is. It also keeps on going to this. It says it's to make different in something particular, to make radically different, to give a different position, course of direction, or place with one another, to make a shift from one another, to undergo a modification of foliage that changes color, to put on a fresh clothes or covering. But let's go back to verse 1. That's verse 2. And you can't take verses out of context. You got to look and see what does verse 1 say before. It starts off by saying, I beseech you, therefore. You know, my friends, my brothers, my sisters. You know, I beseech. In other words, it's not saying I'm going to share something. Look, you got to listen to this. That's where this beseech comes from. By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's holy. It's acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That when you do that, when you present yourself totally, when you step in and you become like the caterpillar, I am all in. I'm all in. What happens is the door gets opened up for transformation. And then when you have that, then what takes place is, do not be conformed to this world, but in this case, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He keeps talking about, but be transformed. Here's the word I want us to talk about. Why or how? You notice it doesn't say, be transformed because you're going to get a new mind. The word is renewing. And what takes place is, I didn't have an event that day. And then everything's over. What took place, the reason Francis has pointed out that I am not the old Mike, is because of prayer, study, and fellowship. And through that process, that's where the renewing takes place. Because what I knew, I couldn't have taught this class 8 years ago. Heck, I couldn't have taught this class 5 years ago when I first started on this journey. But what takes place is by spending more time in study, more time in prayer, you'll be able to go to a much deeper level, all right? Here's what I want you to do at your tables, all right? I want you to talk amongst yourself for just a minute. I want you to talk about, and each of us are in different sort of levels in our walk. I want you to talk for a second about what's different of where you are mentally or what you know scripturally today than what you knew at some time in the past. It may be a year ago, it may be 10, 20 years ago. What's different in what you know, what or how you pray? What's different in your walk today than what it was before in the early stage? I'm gonna give you a couple minutes to talk about that. They're very friendly at this table.
Just for that day, because
sure.
Since the, you know, things will happen in life.
had that relationship, it brings you right there. You know, where is your trust? Who are you going to listen to?
Right.
Me or him, right?
And that, I think that's what we're transforming of our minds.
And them and ours.
Especially when you're telling your testimony.
It's our thoughts that we change. You know, not be a negative thought.
Okay, let's see what we got. All right, so let's share here a little bit. Let's share a little bit as a group. Are y'all running him off already? No. Okay. Okay, let's start over here. What did y'all talk about? Somebody give me. Anybody have a want to share? I have no idea. That's why. What did you share that where you've seen?
Where I'm different now than when.
Yeah.
I was sharing about how now I tend to look when things happen, whatever's consider the purposes of God in this situation. Whereas, you know, in the past, you know, it may be something like, man, I can't believe this is happening. This is awful. That's a tragedy or whatever, you know. But now I start thinking that direction.
Right. Start moving that direction. So anything else?
I think it was the kind of the consensus that as we mature in the Lord, our thoughts go more towards what he's doing rather than the other, you know, what the world may see.
Yeah.
A deeper trust.
Trust comes into play or whatever. So what about you guys?
Part of our discussion was about becoming more bold and looking at things that may have been viewed as coincidence in the past as an opportunity, and things that were presented to us that we thought like, oh, and then you look back, you say, well, that was an opportunity.
Yeah,
we from that.
Would you give? I heard you talking about the example. Would you share with the group the example of how y'all were kind of thrown in the deep end of the swimming pool?
So, through an association with some folks here at the church, the Trickets, at least you know, became involved in prison. And the day after Christmas, a couple of years ago, we're at a prison, and they have the program, and Kay is describing how this is going to play out. And the majority of this population is women, and then there was a men's side that I ended up. As this is playing out, okay, saying, you know, we do this, and then prayer warriors here are here to pray with you all if that's what you would like to do.
Now, she's telling this not to prepare you to go in.
No, we're in. We're there.
And they're all looking at us,
and
they got red shirts on.
I'm like,
where are the prayer warriors?
That's right.
What exactly are you talking about? But it was.
Oh, and I went up to Kay, and I'm tugging on her sweater, and I said, hey. Are you expecting us to go pray with these women? She goes, well, yeah, Lisa. And I go, I can't do that. She goes, yes, you can. Just pray about us. I've been praying. I've been standing over there praying since you said we're. She goes, you'll be fine. You know what to say. And we were fine. We were fine. And then fast forward, I think it was just two Sundays later. We're in the sanctuary. And it was when Pastor Greg started, we're praying. You need prayer, you just come to somebody in the cross aisle and all that. Well, we're in our seats, and all these prayer people are standing in the cross aisles. Well, there was lines at all of them. And Jamie, that used to work for Pastor Greg, she comes up to us, and she goes, do y'all mind helping? Because there's a lot of people, and can y'all come up here and pray with some people? We're like...
That's right.
This is our church.
That's right. I can do it. I prayed in prison.
She goes, do you mind? And we're like, okay. And I'm like, okay, Lord, you prepared us a place.
Yeah.
Put us up here in front of our church house. Okay.
Yeah.
Putting that all in perspective, go back to that day at the prison when we're like, you want us to do what?
Dear, but we
to
don't
then
know
now.
People.
And there's thing as recent as this afternoon where things are presented that you think chance encounter. You know it's not a chance encounter. And how are we gonna act on this?
Right.
Whereas before we would just say, hey, how's it going, buddy? Have a nice day.
Yeah, and see.
We have prayed intentionally. I know I have. pretty much these last 7.5 months, but especially in the last 6 weeks, just for the Lord to use us and to put us in people's path and to put people in our path where the focus isn't about what's going on in our life or all that stuff that we got happening, and it let it be about something else. And oh, has he ever. We have had more opportunity.
So we shared a story about the 900. Mm-hmm. There's been two more that are as dramatic since then, where just all of a sudden, boom, here's somebody just, I mean, literally dropped down in front of you.
Yeah.
And just amazing. This is a transformation. What about you guys? What did y'all talk about? Anybody want to share?
I'll let somebody else
She's
talk.
A spokesperson all the time.
Yeah, I noticed that over the last couple of weeks. Everybody just...
You're looking official.
That's right.
You did.
Well, what I was talking about is how going through the Bible has keeps changing you to the point where when things that would upset you in the past and that you would go up fighting about in the past, now you can sit back and reflect on it, pray about it, and watch everything happen.
Yeah.
That's basically
it. Yeah, and I love what Matilda is saying, it is when you go through the Bible, because that's what we're looking at, is where transformation isn't an event, right? And what happens is the Holy Spirit's presence in our life is to help guide and help direct. But, you know, he doesn't walk in, sometimes he actually doesn't, most of the time he doesn't walk in like with a broomstick and beat us on top of the head and say, come here, I want you to go do this.
Sometimes,
you know, sometimes
in prison,
you know,
have no
that's right, in that particular case, that's right, you know that happens, right? But a lot of times, you know, I wasn't in prison today in my office, you know, I didn't have the roof open up and a lightning bolt come down or whatever. I didn't have a burning bush experience. It was just me in my office. But what happens is the Holy Spirit's presence is there. But we have to acknowledge it. We have to look for it. We have to lower our guard. And that, this journey we've been on is trying to understand, what does it mean to abide? That's why each one of these is kind of stacking as we move forward in a really special, special way. I want us to look at this because it's important for us, especially when I look at this subject, I have a tendency to compare myself to other people. Not a good thing to do. I compare myself a lot of times like to Bill. I said, I want to walk like this man someday. And he goes, what? You know, I want to play the drums like Eddie over there. It's like, I've not heard him, but he's trying to give me drum lessons here after church sometime when I'm packing up. And we're talking about hand percussion, which I play along with. And he's trying to help me to understand to play Latin claves. And I'm going, okay. And there's a comparison that takes place. And the challenge of what happens, sometimes we look at others and we sometimes see ourselves either less than because there's a chasm, all right, that I can't be as good as Tom because Tom's good at this. And so what I want to do is, and I got to show you, this is the Holy Spirit working.
It started working.
I went over and looked at it. So either the Holy Spirit is helping us out, or it was just strictly stupid operator error on my part. I don't know which or whatever. But but I want us to look at the transformation of the Apostle Paul. Because that's one of the most prolific transformations that takes place in the gospel. And I want us to spend just a couple of minutes and look about his walk to Damascus. He's on the Damascus Road. He's heading out. And he has been doing what? Up until the time he leaves Jerusalem, he's heading to Damascus, he's going to do what? Let's take the word persecute and say, what does that mean? He's going to go kill him. He's going to go hunt them down and kill Chris. This is the guy who is like, you know, if there was a reality TV show, can you imagine? He would be like, I'm just zap those people. It's just, that's who he is.
Assassin.
He's an assassin. That's who he was. He experiences Christ. Right? And he is literally gets blinded. The Bible talks about scales over there. He can't see. And he goes off and he spends time literally out in the desert, in a small environment, you know, trying to understand. And he comes out of this experience, having experienced the risen Christ transformed. Who was he after? What was he transformed into? What did he? What?
Amazing evangelist.
He was an evangelist. Okay, he's an evangelist, and so he wrote. Okay, wrote. He basically wrote. What's the percentage of the New Testament that he wrote? It's like 75% of it. It's huge. You know, that's right. You know, that's sort of a Cajun number. A lot. Okay. You know, but he wrote somewhere in there around 3/4 of the New Testament. The guy was a prolific writer with all the letters. But when I stopped and looked at the transformation of Paul, he is a man consumed with anger that is transformed. His heart is transformed into a heart of love. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the
also a man of full of pride that was transformed into a very humble.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. I mean, he comes from a sort of a fairly well-to-do. He studied under one of the most Gamaliel, right, which was one of the, even today is recognized as one of the great rabbis of all time. That was his teacher, his mentor. That was his mic. No, okay, but that's who he studied under. I mean, this was a guy who, and he becomes less than. His heart changed, and because of that, when Jamie said that, but his vision, his focus changed on what was important in his life. There was a transformation that takes place. And my problem is, I look at Paul, and I go, I didn't experience that. So am I really being transformed? That's the question I ran through until I started looking at what is the meaning of what's this change that's taking place? And the cool thing about it is the transformation literally does start day one when we accept Christ. Mm-hmm. We just don't, a lot of times, I didn't see it. I mean, as I went through, mine wasn't until California when, for some reason, and I thank you, Lord, like David, like, please don't take this away from me. He lit this thing and he poured octane on it. And it's like, you know, my favorite time of the week is Wednesday night and Sunday morning when I get to do this. You know, but the second most favorite time of the week is in the morning times when I'm doing my study to get ready to do this. And it's just, and that's not an old mic. That's a new mic that was lit inside of it. But it started with me just taking a class and coming to some of these, and there's a process that takes place. So I don't share that, say, well, you know, if you're truly transformed one day, you're going to be doing this, okay? You get to do this. And he goes, I don't think so. Another thing, by the way, I've said is, don't tell God what you don't want to be transformed into. He's going to laugh about that, so. But I think it's an important thing for us to look at. If you look at 1 Corinthians, again, Paul, who's writing letters to the church in Corinth, he says this in chapter 2, verses 9 through 13. He says, but it is written, what an eye did not see, an ear did not hear, what never entered the human mind, God prepared this for those who love him. He's talking about the fact that this is something that's going to happen inside of you. This is something that's going to happen inside of you. God prepared this, prepared the way for the Holy Spirit to have this presence in your life. Now, God, who has revealed these things to us by one source, the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, Bayou Boy needs the Holy Spirit to help him understand what was, you know, and to point me to things. And it's not that I have great revelation. I read Scripture and I come up with these wise things to say. What he does is he points me to great people like Dietrich Bonhoeffer, you know, or Stott. You know, my favorite is Constable, Thomas Constable of Dallas Theological Seminary, great commentator. He's on faculty up there. And there's something about when I read what they say, it makes sense and it helps me to understand. He points me and he points you in direction. You were pointed here tonight for you to spend time looking at this. And that's this transformation. But we got to be open to it. And the more we recognize that there is a transformation that takes place, the more opportunities you have to grow along these lines. And the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. The Holy Spirit helps us to he digs into the depth. I mean, it's like, have you ever tried to explain to somebody how how creation started? Right? You ever took a shot at that? You know, I did. I took a course at the College of Biblical Studies. And the course I took, you had to write a paper, a 10-page paper on any one of five subjects. And the one subject I knew I was not going to write about was the difference, the debate between creation and evolution. I said, I'm not writing that one. Yeah, don't get ahead of me, Janie. And the reason I didn't want to write it, I didn't know what I believed. I didn't understand. I was a science guy. I mean, it's like, you know, I can make a case. I mean, it makes sense. And, you know, I can see where there's sort of scientific evolution. I mean, I could make a case for this stuff. And my thing was, if I studied it and I found out, well, you know, there really is such a thing as Darwin and evolution. I mean, if you look at Nikki, my daughter, next week I'll bring a picture. And you see, it's like, if you want to see me with long hair, you know, it's like, we were shopping together Christmas one night, and this clerk says, DNA does exist, doesn't it? I mean, you can just so much resemblance that takes place with that. And so, what you have, you know, look at these two back here over here. I love that. I mean, it's like, tell me you went on DNA. And so, if that's the case, then doesn't have, well, no, I ended up digging into this thing. And by the time I finished, I mean, I became a creationist, you know, and there's tons and tons of people, at least Strobel. Who's on at HBU was a reporter up in Chicago. Was an atheist. I mean, down you know, just and so he starts studying because he's going to disprove things. And now he's on faculty at HBU, and I'm really excited. I get a chance to speak on the same stage, and my daughter and I are speaking at the D6 conference, and he's going to speak at the same time that we're there. And so I'm gonna take my picture with him, and so I'm kind of cool. But my point behind this is that when you look at things is I didn't have the ability to wrestle with that, but the Holy Spirit will lead you when you get bold enough to step into places that think, so he's here somewhere, he's gonna help me through this. Things are gonna be revealed to you, and so this spark gets lit into you and a little bit more fuel. For among men, who knows the thoughts of man except the spirit of man that's in him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who comes from God. This is the Holy Spirit. This is where the transformation that takes place in us, so that we may understand what has been freely given to us by God. He has great desire to help us understand. But what happens is when we're new in our walk, he can't pour a tanker load of gasoline on top of us. I couldn't understand then what I can now. I couldn't. You know, Tommy, my wife and I are having a lot of fun. She talks about this a lot because when we started her, she grew up in a Bible church, you know. And where they memorized verses, and they had a pastor who would get up and preach and teach about the Bible. And I didn't have that background. And we prayed twice a year, Christmas and Easter. Boom, baby, throw down. Okay? As a little boy, we prayed more than that. And my dad tells a story. My grandfather, Aimé Lejeune, who spoke French and some English, and one of his favorite memories as a little boy was they had a shotgun house, you know, with 10 kids in Hathaway, Louisiana. And my dad and I were talking about this. He used to love at night to listen to Papa get on his knees and say his prayers in French. And you could hear it, you know, kind of rolling. You know, that was it. By himself in his room, he would just pray. Right? And that was, you know, but that was the extent. We never talked about this. But what happens is a transformation takes place when we're bold enough to step out and allow the Holy Spirit. We also speak these things, not words taught by human wisdom, but those taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual things to spiritual people. And so what happens is, I don't believe it's me sharing things I've learned as a speaker. It's given me freedom, because I believe the Holy Spirit's in the room, and I will say things, and each of you are going to get your own thing out of it. It's like having a prism, you know, with light. You know, you put light into it and it refracts. How many of you, when Pastor Greg is preaching on Sunday, thinks he's talking directly at you? Is it just me? Okay. You know, I sent him an email one time. Said, I apologize to all the 3,000 people in the service that had to listen to this sermon that you were looking dead at me when you were talking, okay? Because it was just so spot on. But if you go around and ask people, that's the Holy Spirit transforming us by moving information around. There's power that comes into that. I want to look at the transformation of Peter, one of the big transformations. Let's talk about who Peter was. First of all, before he even met Jesus Christ, who was Peter? He was a fisherman. Now, let's look at what, and you're allowed to do this because he was a fisherman. Let's talk about who he must have been And how he must have been since he was a fisherman. What was he like as a man?
He'd been rugged or outdoorsman.
Yeah, real rugged, outdoorsman or whatever. Just kind of, you know, man. Probably like my brother Blaine. I mean, Blaine is, he works outside all the time. He's just a rugged guy. When you, Tommy talks about Blaine, like she says, Tom, Blaine is my baby brother. Not a baby, baby Huey. I mean, a big guy. You know, my wife says, your brother is the best hugger that I know. I have a hard time accepting that when she's talking about my brother being the best hugger she knows. I mean, but as we talk, but she asked, Blaine will give me a hug. And I'm telling you, he's the best hugger that I know. He's a bear of a guy. And he loves to fish. He and his wife, they love to go out and catch their perch and their catfish and, you know, some bass every now and then. They love to fish. So we know he's rugged. What else do we know about him? He's a fisherman.
I think he's impetuous.
Tell me about that. When we say impetuous, what do you mean?
He's rash. He acts without thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. As a matter of fact, Scripture actually...
Whatever comes to his mind, he either says it or doesn't.
They respond. And the reason for that is what? Because he's fairly individualistic. Mm-hmm. Okay? In other words, it's like, I say what I respond because of my thoughts that are going... I'm individualistic. This is the way things need to be. All right. And the other thing, if you look at this, you know, do you think that as a fisherman, most of the people that I know that really enjoy fishing, you know, it's not a blanket statement, they have a tendency to be somewhat individualistic. Do you think he had much training to where he was going to be able to go out and, like, sell or speak or teach? There's nothing in Scripture that says he had those talents before he, you know, before the Holy Spirit shows up. Right now, he starts walking with Christ, and things start happening. Will you?
I think it's interesting too. Some other part of Scripture that can't quote right now, but where it talks about, well, you know that it's his family trait because it talks about his dad and whatnot, and his brothers did it too. But to where later in Scripture, after the Holy Spirit comes into the picture and into the believers' lives, that they can tell that he and the other disciples have been with Jesus because the way that they spoke had changed. And it didn't sound like they were just layman fishermen.
Mm-hmm.
It sounded like they were educated.
And specifically, what comes to mind where that starts to come into place in Acts, what takes place is, and most more importantly, it says they observed the boldness of Peter and John and realized they were uneducated and untrained men. They were amazed and recognized that they had been with Jesus. Right? It's exactly what Lily is talking about. She didn't read my notes. She thought that, okay? Right?
I didn't come to class on Sunday.
No. I'll talk to you about that later. No. No. Yeah, but it's what happens is, they write this. What's taking place is the Holy Spirit has come into the upper room. Now, they've gathered together, and the Holy Spirit has been given to them. And they come out of the upper room, and they're speaking. First of all, they talk about they're speaking in other languages, which they definitely weren't trained to do that because they were fisher people, right? And they were speaking not in one other language. They were speaking in tons of languages. The question is, were they speaking it, or are the people just hearing in their own language? So in other words, the gift of being able to communicate was put. But the cool thing about Peter... What changed him, with Peter in particular, was a shift in him from a boldness to be able to step out, right, and speak the gospel. And he stood up and gave what is referred to as the first sermon of the church. And he spoke with such clarity and such boldness that they referred to 3,000 people. We're saved. We're accepted Christ that day. Right? This is a transformation that takes place. Now I lift both of these guys up for a specific reason, because I find that when I talked about sometimes we compare ourselves to this and we aren't. I've read a lot. One of my favorite books I've ever written was about Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Right? If you know who Dietrich Bonhoeffer. No, this is actually it's the biography of him. It's about that thick, but it's an amazing read. It's the story using some of his writings, and it's this amazing biographer went through and put this thing together. Somebody gave it to me as a present. I'm looking at it going, you got to be kidding me, but I'm telling you, I couldn't put it down, because here's a guy who was a priest after, I mean, excuse me, when Hitler was in Germany, and was the, if you look at the coup where they tried to assassinate Hitler,
yes.
There was a movie they made about it.
Valkyrie.
He was part of that, you know, he was one of the ones who was trying because he spoke against them, and he was thrown into prison, and he never stopped. He never stopped preaching. He never stopped teaching. And he lived with, I'm okay. I am okay. And I can't imagine, I just can't imagine how someone like him can hold on to his faith under those circumstances. I get frustrated when I, you know, when I'm stuck at a traffic light and then two cars in front of me don't go fast enough and I'm got to go through two lights. And it's like the thoughts that I have bother me, you know. And so when we look at these, what does that say about our walk? I don't think it says anything less than. It doesn't. It just simply says that these people answered the call. The fire was lit and they walked into it. And it's an example for us in our walk today, no matter where we are, what's going on, that the creator of the universe who loved us so much that we were given life and who reaches out to us, wants to transform us into his amazing creation, transform our hearts. We have to go along the journey with him. We have to. Romans 8:22-27 says, "For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together with labor pains until now." What this is pointing out to is it talks about that there's a birthing that's trying to take place. That's what Paul did. There's a birthing that's trying to take place, and not only that, we also have the Spirit as the first fruits. And we're talking about the Spirit was actually a gift that's given to us as the first fruit, as the very top, the best, that once we accept Christ, that's the gift that we're given. We also groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. Now, in this hope, we were saved. Yet hope that is seen is not hope. Because who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with patience. Tell me what this says to you. What does this say to you? What's the point? Hope that is not seen is not hope. Hope that is seen is not hope. I know, I don't have to hope that pole's right there. I don't have to hope for it, right? I've run into that pole, I don't know how many times teaching on Sunday morning, I know that pole is there. The Holy Spirit, this, there's a difference in that. And what we're looking for, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then we need to be transformed into an infinite mindset, and then what we do for here lasts for eternity, and that we have to have the mindset that this is not our home, and that we must eagerly await for this, all the pains and the sufferings, you know, that humans that we go through, you know, we are not, I tell people now, and I guess the kind of Holy Spirit has put this on my heart, we are not set up for pain. And when you put pain, that pain element, into God's plan of salvation, it just makes so much sense that this world is not set up for comfort. You know, and if we have that heavenly perspective, we can get through this chaotic society.
You betcha. You betcha. There's things that, when you said that, what jumps out at me is that I'm in a phase of my life right now, the last couple of years, is I'm trying to do something, moving in directions, and I'm doing stuff that is kind of new, and some of it's uncomfortable, right? And But I know that what I know now is so much more than I knew 4 years ago when I started on this journey. And that's the coolest thing. But what happens is there's a part of me going, man, this is painful. Right? And so, and I can't sometimes see around a corner. But the Holy Spirit, you know, is the more I recognize that He's there with us, the more growth I go through, the more steps I take in that area. Right?
I think what he's too saying is our ultimate hope is in Him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not anything in this world.
Not at all.
And so, you know, if we can see it, there's no hope.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't require hope.
Doesn't require any hope.
So the hope, our, you know, it says that we hope in Him.
Mm-hmm.
Very
much so. And if you look at Romans, again, 12:3, which comes after 12:2, notice I figured that out myself. It says, for I say, through the grace that's been given to me, to everyone who's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. What's happened is God has dealt to each one of us a measure of faith. It's there, right? And our job is through the pain that you're talking about. What happens is the more we do that, the more our faith will grow. It's the difficulty, it's the challenge, it's the hardships. I was talking to somebody about it the other day, and they pointed, you know, when you accept Christ and become a Christian, it's like getting a bullseye on your back. Right? It's not a question longer. Are you going to have challenges? It's going to be, they're coming at you.
That's right.
They just are. You know, not just circumstance, but society and questions and issues and stuff that we deal with. But that's what he's using to transform us into who he wants us to be. But each one of us have a measure of faith. He's given that to us. And our job, our role in this transformational process is to help to find ways to help us grow. So the question is, have you been transformed? On the back of your handout, there's just two questions I put on there for you. Is, have you been transformed? And we're not going to talk about it as a group. It's something for you to take home with you, right? And I hope, based upon our conversation tonight, we look at the definition of transformation, that it's a journey, it's a process, it's something that's happened. And that what's constant, you are being transformed. Paul says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I think what Paul is talking about, and what the Holy Spirit will, we have to have our mind renewed and renewed and renewed and renewed and renewed. And the more that we do, that's where our faith grows. That's where our peace grows. And so my prayer is from the Holy Spirit to interact with you is that to look at yourself before and after. The question I have to ask yourself is that, are you renewing your mind as much as the Holy Spirit really is going to put on your heart to do? So I'm hoping this is kind of convicting.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Is that conviction?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how you thought about working out a problem versus now that you are a Christian or you are in this phase of your life, because it's an ongoing process. We never get there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We're just not there. There's always something that we've fallen short of the glory of God.
Right. Very much so. And for me, the before and the after, when I'm looking at that, having my mind renewed, the challenge was given to me most recently in a meeting of other teachers within First Baptist Church, and somebody asked the question of, how much time are you spending in your own personal quiet time? And I'm going, oh, quite a bit. Probably, I bet you I get easily 10, 12 hours a week. And the reason why is because I got a couple hours on Sunday, Saturday morning, I do this, I did some stuff Saturday night. I got Wednesday night, I've got that, and so I've got to tool that up here. And I realized all of my answer was around me preparing for class. And I'm going, hey, when are you spending time renewing yourself? As we talked about last week, having God minister, having the Holy Spirit minister to me so then he can minister through me. And that's why this lesson fits so tightly on top of that. It's slowing ourselves down to spend time and not squeezing. I love the I don't know if you signed up for the little daily app that Pastor Greg talked about. I did. And so I'm getting the, you know, Proverbs hitting me. And so, my friends, that doesn't count, because within about less than 3 minutes, you can read that thing and you can't check the box and say it's all over with. That's not going to be a resource to help you from a transformation. Now, what happens if you read that and throughout the day you mull it over and you think about it and you see, what is it? That's the mind being renewed. How much effort are you putting out? I think that you need to look. For me, that was renewing. I used to love my quiet time in the morning. You know, I just loved it. I'd sit and I'd get my journal out, I'd write, and I'd study, and I'd write. And I just woke up the other day and I realized, you know something? I'm not spending as much quiet. I'm a lot of time in Scripture. I'm just not slowing down to spend time. And that was a wake-up call for me. What's yours? You know, when you think about it, we're not going to talk this. It's a personal thing. What needs renewing? Yeah. What needs renewing? My friends, wrap your arms around it. You're being transformed. Right now you are. Roll around in that. Study what that looks like. Pray about what it looks like. You know, claim it. Because the more you claim it, I found the stronger it becomes in you. Psalm 138:3, on the day I called you, excuse me, on the day I called, you answered me. You made me bold with strength in my soul. That's what happens. Heavenly Father, we come to you this night studying the realness of your presence in our life this day. Tonight the study was about how you are. And I say that we're trying to transform us because so many times we're the ones who slow that process down. I think of Tom and Lisa's story. It would have been easy for them to say, no, I can't. I back up. I can't. But they, Lord, they did in their own way. Maybe they didn't think they had a choice, but they did. They could have found a way to walk away from that. They could have also chosen not even to go there. But they did. Father, just as we reach to you, transform us as you did with Paul. And I think of Peter when it comes to boldness. Transform us, Lord, for a heart like Paul. A heart to serve you. A heart to spread the love of Jesus Christ. This transformation is needed for us to do that because our flesh gets in the way. Lord, we thank you for the realness of the gift of the Holy Spirit in our life. In your name we pray. Amen.